Let's step back a little bit. What is Lully most known for?
So he's most known for his operas and his ballets. He also wrote some sacred vocal music, and although that was not really his part of his official duties at the court of Louis XIV, he did write music for the Royal Chapel.
He was an Italian by birth. What was he appointed to be, and how did he get there?
So Lully was Italian and born of sort of peasant stock. So that makes his rise to power even more remarkable. And he came to France as a teenager, about age 14, and he studied music and he studied dancing. And it was really as a dancer that he first made an impression at the court of Louis XIV. So he danced until he was, you know, in his mid-30s, mid to late 30s, which is typically when a lot of dancers stop, and started composing dance music. So he got an official position, actually a rather high position of writing chamber music for the king. And he started by writing more dance music. He got famous for this. And then he started writing recitatives and arias and choruses for theatrical productions as well. So his involvement with opera was sort of a gradual one.
Is there a resurgence of Lully's music at this point? And if so, why do you think that's the case?
There has been a resurgence, and I would say it started in the 1980s, and a central figure was the American William Christie, who's been living in France for the past 35 or 40 years, and he was one of the people leading the charge to revive Lully's music. And so with his group Les Arts Florissants, which comes to Brooklyn occasionally, to the Brooklyn Academy of Music, to do operas, with that group, he's revived not only Lully, but a lot of French Baroque composers, and created productions that I think have been very convincing to modern ears, to making a great case for the music.
If you could explain to me when the baton came into use and what its predecessor was in terms of the use of the staff by a conductor.
Well, the idea of a baton conductor, someone who's sort of a traffic cop and also conveys an interpretation of the music, is really a 19th century idea. So someone like Beethoven is a kind of a transitional figure where he actually did conduct ensembles, whether or not he used a baton or his hands, that, you know, was the same idea. But there were some kind of baton conductors throughout the 17th and 18th centuries, typically with vocal music, where they would be keeping time with, say, a roll of paper. Or concertmasters would conduct a little bit with their bows, violin bow. And in France, they had a tradition of conducting choruses with a big staff. And the staff would be banged on the floor so that the choral members could see it, but they could also feel it. If the conductor were far away or there was a lot of other music going on, they could sort of feel the pulse as well. And this was something that foreigners who came to France and heard this, they thought it was kind of silly, actually. But that was the practice. And so Lully was doing this late in life, and he gave himself an injury with this staff, and it got infected, and then gangrene sort of spread to his leg, and he died of the infection.
Amazing. Did he? It's really not clear whether he hit his toe or his foot or what. Is that correct?
I don't think we know the details too much, you know, and I'm sure he didn't want the details known. It's sort of an embarrassing way to die, but, you know, a serious infection in those days was a really serious matter.
And I think from what I know, that when this happened, he was conducting a Te Deum for the king, and it happened in January, and then he was wounded, and then he died in March. So he died 2 months later.
Yeah, that seems rather quick. And the Te Deum is actually one of Lully's most famous pieces. It's maybe his most famous sacred vocal work. So unfortunately for him, one of his more important pieces is connected with this story in a sort of intimate way. One of the remarkable things about his career is not only a rise from, you know, absolute obscure and modest origins, but also the power that he was able to consolidate in France thanks to his relationship with King Louis XIV, where he had basically a monopoly on producing stage works for a while in France. So he was able to do whatever he wanted, and he had all of the forces that he could dream of, really, vocal and instrumental, as well as spaces to create his art. So that was great for him, but it also meant that a lot of important composers weren't able to produce theatrical works until his death.
Because he had a monopoly on that due to his relationship with the king.
That's right. I mean, he legally had a monopoly. So really the history of French opera begins with Lully, and then after his death, you have a whole range of composers of the next generations writing operas, sort of taking his music as a starting point.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.